how about we do this? By the way, we're going to gain an hour because it's only 7 o'clock. It's only 7 o'clock. We lost it in the spring. We got it back, okay, tonight. How about we, first of all, we'll pray, read some verses together. Now, even in our prayer reading, let's be new. Actually, we really need a training on prayer reading.
Yes. Amen.
Just like we need a training on singing. Because it's all gotten old and routine and the same old, you know. But anyway, how about we pray, read some. Then, after we pray, read, instead of me speaking, I like you. We have these mic that we can pass around, yeah? Okay, two of them. How about you say something based on this morning's speaking, you know, even the sisters this afternoon. I want you to say something, to share something of what you have enjoyed or how you're touched. You speak something, not to me, but you speak something to everyone. How about that? Just stand where you are. No need to come up. Just pass that mic around. Then, after that, I may say something. I may not. All right? Or you may, we may continue this afternoon's wonderful meeting with the sisters to have some questions. Maybe by the brothers. This will be a brothers' meeting tonight. Although with the sisters in attendance, listening in, it's okay. All right? Shall we do that? So here are the verses that we're going to pray read tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5, wonderful chapter. We'll pray read 16 to 24. 16 to 24. Now, don't pray read like, okay, let's hurry through this and get to the message, because there may be no message to get to. So you just pray read. You just enjoy these verses by letting the word inhabit, by exercising our spirit to strike the word. In the training, I gave 4 levels of prayer reading. Were you there in the training when I gave 4 levels of prayer reading? Have you heard of that? There are 4 levels of prayer reading. And I'm quite concerned that many of you are at the first level. And even we can be in the first level for many years without going on to level 2. Now you ask, what's level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4? Even as I'm speaking, I'm trying to remember it. Okay. Level 1 prayer reading, and they're all good, but they get more and more advanced. And I want to see you get to level 4. That has a lot of effect on the church life and your own life. Because prayer reading is not a local church formality. Prayer reading is the way we absorb the riches of God. Amen. It is one of the greatest discoveries in the Christian practice, to pray the word of God. And many past saints have actually done it. You have that. We have that little book called Lord Thou Saidst, and you'll find a lot of historical cases, biographical cases of past saints, New Testament saints in the church that really pray read. We need a revival of pray reading. It's an old common thing among us, but if it's revived, I think this may revive the Lord's recovery. compared to the 60s and 70s, our prayer reading has gone downhill. I can tell you that. We're not prayer reading today as we did before. So, okay, level one is, I call it straight prayer reading, meaning, you know, okay, I'll take verse 16 here. Always rejoice, right? Level one is always rejoice. Then you go always, amen, always. And someone say amen. Someone says always. Someone says amen. Someone says always. You say amen. And we move to rejoice. And someone say rejoice. And we say amen. It's not bad. It's not bad. That's where you begin. But that level of prayer reading is really level one. You only need that amount of exercise, and you also only get that much of a supply from that prayer reading. It's straight prayer reading. It's just like verbatim prayer reading. It's could be a prayer reading that the only kind of prayer reading that you know. All right? I don't know. You say, what is level two prayer reading? I'm in practice right now. Okay? Level two prayer reading is what I call the first level of prayer reading is called repeating prayer reading. You just repeat. The second kind is called emphasis prayer reading. That means not just do amen like that, but you actually begin to use your spirit to put emphasis on certain words. Right? Not all the words are worthy of the same kind of emphasis. All right? There's certain phrases, there's certain important words that requires some cracking of the shell to get to the kernel. All right? So emphasis prayer reading. So instead of always rejoice, you just begin to what? Strike always. It's not always amen, always amen, always amen. No. But it is always. You begin to emphasize that word always. Oh, always. You see, that's different than the repeating kind of monotone prayer reading. Okay, this is now with emphasis. And that emphasis requires you to have an extra exercise of the Spirit. Amen. Still not the max, but it requires you to do more. Do you follow me?
Amen.
Always rejoice. Okay? Rejoice. You strike the word rejoice. Amen. Oh, rejoice.
Amen.
You see, now it's prayer reading with some feeling, huh?
Amen.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you sing, you know, this karaoke, you know. It's just kind of nothing. It's just kind of plain. You just follow the bouncing ball, right? But sometimes when you know a song a little bit more, you sing with some feeling, huh? You emphasize. This is called emphasized prayer reading. The third level. What is the third level? No. This I'm into practice. The third level is, oh, here we go. The third level is now you're really beginning to go into upper division prayer reading, okay? The first two, you don't need to, it's just there in the page, and you just do it. Now, what is upper division prayer reading? Okay, now you're not just always, or rejoice, whatever, using just the word in the Bible. Now you're beginning to use your own word. I want you to use your own word. This is what I call digestive prayer reading. It's not just repeating, not just emphasizing. Now you are digesting the word. And the way to digest that word is by using your utterance, your Spirit-given or Spirit-anointed utterance, to digest this word by using your own words. So always rejoice. So you don't just say always, or just emphasizing the word always. You begin to turn it into your prayer. Oh Lord, always rejoice. Rejoicing all the time. Am I right? See, this is not here. This is my word. So for you to pray in that way require a further exercise. Now, actually, at this level of prayer reading, there are also some sub-levels. Oftentimes, when I pray read something, when you pray read, I got so inspired by that word that scriptures from other parts of the Bible begin to come up within me. And I start to lay hold of those scriptures to pray read this scripture. Do you follow me? So, for example, this word rejoice occur in a lot of places, not only in this verse, in Philippians, full of rejoicing. Always rejoice. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. And so you are now exercising not only your throat or your spirit, not only even a deeper use of the spirit, with some feeling to strike the word, now you are beginning to use or enlighten and renew mind. So you're right, to use the mind by your recall of other scriptures, or by your understanding of the scriptures, you pray. You pray with the word. Always rejoice. Right? Rejoice always. And then you begin to, how do I practice? It's even hard for me to practice now. You try. Let me say this. When you get to this level of prayer reading, this third level, you are now entering into the real essential prayer reading. You are now finally entering into masticative prayer reading. Masticating, meaning chewing the cud, means grinding the food. It means you begin to digest and eat now this food, all right? It's when you get to this level, then the word becomes really food and becomes something that can be assimilated and to even what? To inhabit you. Amen. Then you say, what is the fourth level of prayer reading? Fourth level of prayer reading is when you pray. You're not even prayer reading with the Bible in front of you. You are praying with some brothers by yourself. While you pray, the scripture comes. The scripture comes. The scripture of the day. The scripture in you. Based on the Spirit's leading and anointing within you to pray on a certain line, in a certain direction, the scripture comes to you. And you use that scripture to enhance your prayer to the Lord. The best prayer actually is this kind of prayer. To use the Lord's word to pray back to him. With your requests, with your intercession, with all kinds of prayer. But that prayer is really with the word of God. What better prayer there is to use the word of God and speak it to him.
Amen.
All right? Now, this requires exercise and this requires practice. And so tonight, talking about training, I'm starting right now with the most basic training, and that is how to pray read.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Would you like to come to my singing training? A lot of our problems in our meetings is we don't know how to sing. We're doing things in a routine way. Not only singing, there's a lot to talk about in speaking the hymns, the psalms, the spiritual songs. We have a vast territory of Christ that we have not tread upon or discovered yet in our church life, in our meeting life, and in our personal life. Well, anyway, let's start there. Okay?
Amen.
In Elden days, we would spend 2 hours to pray read with 300 people. And I'll tell you, that is 10 times better than a message. And after that kind of pre-reading, you are in the heavens. Not just the rafters, you're in the heavens. And the supply and the light and the energization and all of this is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And it is by that kind of energy, that kind of supply, we live an overcoming daily life. Let the word, what did it say this morning? Young man, you are what?
Strong.
Because the word of God abides in you. Our problem, many of your problem, is not that you don't have a Bible or you don't pray read. It's that word somehow fails to abide or inhabit you as it should, as they should. And I will tell you, pray reading is the top way. The topmost way to let the word of God abide.
Amen.
And it shows in your life when the word is just not abiding, or you are just pray reading in a kind of a formulaic way, the word does not sink. The word does not stick to your ribs. The word does not get into the fibers of your being. And so your daily life shows. Nothing wrong with the word, but it's the intake. The intake, something is short in the intake. There are people who eat nutritious food, but their body rejects it. Their body does not have the ability to digest that food as it should. Something's wrong with their digestive system. And so you can put all kinds of nutritious food into them. It just comes out. It does not get retained. It doesn't inhabit them. This is what I'm talking about. I like to see that the working saints in the Bay Area have a revolution.
Amen.
All right? Not to rebel against the elders. No, I don't mean that. I am talking about a revolution in the way we eat the word. A revival in the way we chew and digest the word. And I believe if we have that, this will help the revival to come. This will even bring in a spiritual explosion, not in a Pentecostal way, not in a kind of miraculous way, but by this kind of aggressive exercise of the Spirit, yet with the skill of such advanced prayer reading. And you will see your life, your daily life, being just greatly, greatly strengthened, the church life being greatly, greatly enriched, the meeting life will be different. I like to see that. I long for that. Okay? Pray read, number one, with your throat. Okay, that's minimum, right? That means you have to open your mouth. Don't pray read in your head. I don't know how you do that anyway, but some people apparently have acquired such skill. I don't know how you do it. Pray read in your head. Okay, I say pray read with your mouth.
Amen.
Number two, Your mouth is joined to your spirit. Am I right?
Amen.
Pray, read with your spirit.
Amen.
And not with 10% of your spirit. At least with 50% of your spirit, if not more. Number three, pray, read with your what? With your mind. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, what is it good to speak in tongues? Because it does not benefit the mind. It does not give your mind the understanding. And I will tell you, the nourishment, spiritual nourishment we receive from the word through prayer reading is not just some kind of magical, mystical supply in the spirit. Very much is through the understanding of your mind that brings in the nourishment. When your mind does not understand something, it does not nourish you. But when the mind understands, grasps something, with the help of the Spirit, or from the Spirit, that enlightened mind receives nourishment. And the supply is right there. So use your mind. And I would even say, not only use your mind, but even use your whole being. Your entire being would be in the Word. Your entire being would be mingled with the Word.
Amen.
So that's why I say prayer reading with your gadget, it's a little bit not an easy thing to do. Sometimes I like to challenge today's millennials in the church life so that at the door, you turn in your gadget. And we'll give you a number so you can pick it up later on. We'll leave it there. Then you say, what do we do? Use the good old hymnal and use the good old Bible, just like this one. All right? And let's go back to the old days and see if that makes a difference. How about this? Now, if you go to my singing training, I will get you to the point where you don't even use your hymnal because the song is already in you.
Amen.
I just prepared with some helpers about 300 choruses from the 1080. It's not the supplement, it's the 1080. The 1080, you know, the original hymns is 1080. I selected about 300 of the top and best choruses, and putting it together. And my burden is that for 1 year, the church in Irvine will sing nothing but that. To the point that most of them will become memorized. And everywhere they go, any meeting, if a song breaks out, everyone would join in. No need to shuffle, turn. It's actually unbelievable that we have been in the church life for 20 years, and we're going to sing 501, which we have sang 1,000 times. Today, we still need to wait to turn to 501 to find out what that song really is. And then when we find that song, our eyes are just like this, as if we have never sang it. Really, number 501 should be sung by us with no hymnal. It's all in us. Now, maybe we cannot remember all those verses. O glorious Christ, Savior mine. Am I right?
Amen.
Thou art truly radiance divine. Am I right? Maybe we cannot remember every verse, but how about remember at least the chorus?
Amen.
O Christ,
amen.
Expression of God the great, right? Inexhaustible, rich, and sweet. God mingle with humanity. Listen me, my altar be. Now that you don't need to sing like this. And so this kind of habit of not acquiring the hymn and having to do this actually cause our meetings to be dull, to be old, Everyone is like this. We should all not need to be like that. We should all be singing one to another.
Amen.
Am I right? What, one to another. Yeah? How about this?
Amen.
And I actually have a smaller hymnal of the choruses, mainly from the supplement as well. That you're more familiar with. But the hymn, a lot of great hymns are lost. Today, the so-called Christian contemporary music have almost lost them all. And I will tell you, today's Christian music on Sunday with a band is about this thick in content. In content. I want to go back to the old hymns, not because I'm nostalgic. I want us to go back to the old hymns because the old hymns are much more substantial. Much deeper experience, much more truth. Unlike today, it's just that beat. You know what I mean? It's just that beat. All right. You see, I said I have no message now. I'm. I really want to see a brand new meeting life in the local church. We are now meeting according to a traditional local church meeting that has been here for decades. We're still meeting that way. Is it bad? No, I didn't say it's bad. But I have to tell you, it has become somewhat of a routine. Should all our meetings be like that? No. There are plenty of things we are not enjoying because we're stuck in a certain kind of a way of doing. All right, so let's not go there. Let's pray. Read 1 Thessalonians. All right, even right now, as I said, put on your uniform. What do I mean, put on a uniform? I mean, put on your sport uniform. We're gonna play a game right now. All right, pray reading with so many saints. We have to play as a team. We have to pray, read together in a coordinated way. All right? These saints who have been to the FTTA, I love them, but they also inherit some bad habits from FTTA. Sorry. Bad habits from FTTA. You know, always rejoice. Always. Then you've got this unison. Always, 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 almost in a meaningless way. Just some exercise, some sound. That's 101. It's okay. It's okay. But you need to go on. All right? Will you do that? Okay. Anyway, I know we won't succeed tonight, but let us still pray. Not with two or three, all of us together.
Amen.
So some of you have to be strong.
Amen.
And some of you, when other is praying, you just stop for a minute. And we have to follow one another and build upon one another's prayer.
Amen.
And pray reading. Okay? These brothers are laughing. I don't know why they're laughing so much. Sometimes I like to demonstrate, you know, how to pray read in this kind of a way. Well, let's just try. Okay?
Amen.
16 through 24. Let's read over it through it once, and let's pray read.
Amen.
All right? Let's eat this word. Always rejoice. And in unison, we all say,
always rejoice.
Then silence. And some bold brother couldn't bear the silence. And he would say, rejoice. Oh, praise the Lord. Someone broke that silence. We all go, rejoice. Amen. And then we got to fill the silence. So another round of rejoice until it sort of petered out, you know. Rejoice, and then it kind of get a little weaker and weaker. Then some bold one will break through with unceasing. Then, oh, praise the Lord, let's go. Unceasingly. Amen. Unceasingly. After a few times, it gets a little boring. Someone will say, pray. Ooh, thank the Lord. We now broke through into prayer. Okay, I may be here exaggerating things, but and I know in a big meeting like this, it's always difficult, all right? But I'm going to force you to practice. Then you say, after he says, always rejoice, then what should you do? If you don't go unison, right? What do you do? Always rejoice. What do you do next?
Thank you, Lord. You rejoice always.
Well, I would say this. It is that 101, you know, my four stages of prayer, prayer reading, at least the first three. I think you can go that way. You can climb the mountain that way. So I would say the first thing is a kind of repeat prayer reading. That's fine. We start there. So always rejoice. But so some of us would say always rejoice, repeating is okay. But I think some of us should begin to go to 102 or 201. And that is always. Now it's different. It's not just always uniform, unison, amen. No. It is a kind of a striking, a kind of stronger prayer. Oh, always. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference in my exercise? Always. That's one. Always. That's different. You say, whoa, is it all about decibel level? Not really. But it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Okay? Always. Always. Okay? Rejoice. And then, brother, just like you say, after some strength or striking kind of emphasized kind of prayer reading, you pray read what? With some of your expression. Now, no need to be very lengthy, no need to be express your eloquence, no need to express your scriptural knowledge or demonstrate that, but in very simple way, you begin to chew, you begin to grind, you begin to digest this prayer reading by using your utterance to pray with this. And I would say, because this is prayer, our kind of prayer reading should be mingled all the time with, O Lord. Yeah? You know? O Lord, always. You with O Lord. Or amen. Right? Mingle it with amen. And sometimes when it gets to a crescendo, you mingle it with hallelujah. O Lord, amen, hallelujah, should be mingled in our prayer reading. Now, this is not a form, this is really prayer. So we're prayer reading to the Lord, right? And we're speaking the word even at the same time, one to another. Okay, let's try again. Not easy, but let's try again. The challenge is in a couple of hundred people pray reading at the same time, so it becomes the voice of many waters, all right? Which is fine for a while. But after a while, that doesn't benefit the mind because it's just noise, right? Now, there's a time to make a joyful noise. Absolutely. All right, there's a time for that. But now I'm talking about prayer reading. And prayer reading requires understanding. Prayer reading requires hearing, okay? Prayer reading requires your mind, your renewed mind, okay? So we have to hear, we have to, you know, exercise in that kind of a way. Is it too hard for you? All right. Bad habits always is hard to break. you know, he says, or somebody says, always rejoice, automatically we will all in unison always rejoice. You do it in your sleep, you know, because that has become a habit. Now, to break that habit is not so easy. Now, okay, so we try to break the habit. That means silence. Always rejoice. Oh, we break the habit. We don't say it in unison to follow him. Now what? That is like someone, we're playing ball, you know, five-man team in basketball, and so he threw out a ball, and all of us watched the ball. You know what? How do you play ball? All the other four are constantly ready to catch it. Some among us should be ready to catch that ball and pass it again, all right? Which means you're ready to follow the first prayer to pray the second prayer. And we build on that. We build on that until we score. Saints, too many of our meetings, we never score. That's why the meeting does not feel that we hit the mark. It's not a satisfactory meeting. We never score. Okay? All right, let's try again. Not bad. I would say this shows me that you can do it. It's a matter of exercise and practice.
Amen.
Break the old tradition,
Amen.
All right? Even in your personal prayer reading.
Amen.
I would like to say even break some habits in your personal time with the Lord,
Amen.
In your personal morning revival time. Break some old habits and enter into something new, right? There is no replacement for the exercise of the Spirit. And I find that really the need for many of you is really not this or that. It's not like you don't love the Lord, you have some big problems in life or that kind of a thing. It's you don't use your spirit enough. Your spirit is not strong enough. It says in 1 John, it is our spirit that overcomes
Amen.
The evil one. So your spirit is too weak. Your spirit is too puny. Your spirit is not powerful, not muscular enough. And so there's all kinds of germs, all kinds of sickness. And you just, your immune system is not strong. So we almost have to start from the basic level from there, you know. Okay. Do you feel that even just now the prayer reading is a little bit better than this kind of unison, you know, kind of prayer reading that we're used to? Let us continue to improve. And I would say one way to improve it would be for you to pray read in a small group. Come together in a small group, maybe in your coordination, maybe in your vital companions, or maybe even with your home group or whatever. A small group, and take time to practice to pray read. Practice the prayer reading and improve upon it. Okay? I like that you all become addicts. Is that the word? Like addiction. Addicts of the Word of God. Because you found the way to take this in. You're addicted to it. And I will tell you, prayer reading is highly addictive. Highly addictive if you find the secret. Right? Then when you acquire that taste, that joy, thy words were found and I did eat them, right? And they become the joy and rejoicing of my heart rather than a dry prayer reading session that you don't want to do it again because it becomes a form. You find that joy, you find that nourishment, you find that food. I tell you, you're addicted. And you cannot live without this kind of a prayer reading. Will you take my challenge? Working saints? To cause a revival in prayer reading. Okay, now, it's almost 8. I'd like to know if you have some response to this morning's word. We can pass the mic around. Don't be long, right? About a minute or a little bit more. You just speak something. Do not despise prophecies. You speak something of what you are touched with today. Will you do that? Or are you ready to do that? You want me to say something more first? Well, maybe I will then. Well, I said I would like to open my heart to you in these times, and I really mean it. The Lord knows, from session to session, I'm looking to Him. I don't have an outline. I have a book, I know that, but I don't have much feeling to just use that book and speak on those outlines to you this time. I'm at a disadvantage because I'm not with you, and I don't know all your situation, and I only hope that what I share with you at least is a help to the majority of you, if not all of you. But what I don't have are those things, but I do have something. And what I have is a burden for you. What I have is a lot of feeling for you. And what I have is a lot of hope for you, that you would make a difference in the church life where you are. That you would take the Lord's recovery onwards. I have that hope. And so tonight I select that portion that we read somewhat to touch this matter of your daily life. Your daily life. And we know that everything starts there. We have this saying, the inner life is for our daily life, and the daily life is for the church life. Right? And so the daily life is too important. Uh, And the daily life, I would say, and our meeting life, which really is the main part of our serving life, are altogether related. Altogether related. So our personal life and the church life are related. Our daily life and the meeting life are related. I think this is not just for the working saints. This is for all the saints. It has to start with a robust, strong, normal daily life, even an overcoming daily life. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, that this is within reach. This is possible. This is not reserved for some certain saints, or certain strong brothers, or certain spiritual sisters. This is possible because God has intended that we all live a normal Christian life. Now, there are a lot to this. We even have a book by Brother Nee called The Normal Christian Life, with many, many aspects, touching our inner life, touching too many things, right? But I would like to put it this way tonight, and that is a normal daily life, an overcoming Christian life, is a life, or simply a life, full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. Is also a life that is filled with the Word. The Word of God. It is also a life that has the element of the cross, the Lord's cross in it. The working of the cross. And the key to bringing these things together, the Spirit, the Lord's Spirit, the Word, God's Word, the cross of Christ, is what? Is again through the use of our Spirit. The use of our Spirit. And that use of the Spirit in many ways, in many ways. This world that we're living in, which we talk about this morning, is oppressive. It's seductive. It's all around us. And how do we overcome that? How do we overcome that? Well, our flesh is another problem, am I right? The devil, Satan, And all of these things, even our environment, which sometimes are not that smooth, very challenging. How do we overcome all these things to live a life with the Lord, a life of abiding in Christ, a life in that organic union with the Lord? Well, I said just now already, it's by these things. It's by these things. And just knowledge alone will not do it. You need to be in a certain condition, right? And the Christian life is a life of abiding in the vine, right? That's the Christian life. That means a life that is joined or in union with the Lord. That's the meaning of abiding, or being in Him, or remaining in Him. It's a life that is always plugged in to that divine source. It's a life that you are constantly experiencing the bountiful supply of the Spirit. There's no possibility of living a Christian life without that. Try as you may. And so, how do we do that? How do we do that? We're charged to do that. How do we do this? Well, actually, I think we have been given the way in the Bible, in the Word, through the ministry. And this way is what? Is, I say again, the exercise of our spirit to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I say not only the infilling, but even the outfilling of the Spirit. And a life of the inhabiting or infilling of His Word, of the Word. And the life of this this life of the Lord operating within us. And also the death of the Lord, the cross, operating within us. To counter the germs. So, this exercise of the Spirit is what? How do we do this? How do we do this? How do we get filled with the Spirit? How do we get filled with the Word? How do we allow the element of death, the cross of the Lord, to operate within us? You know, the Spirit has the element of the cross, and the Word has the element of the cross to cleanse, am I right? To wash, and so on. And even it says the living operative Word that can divide soul from spirit. Well, how? I would say by the exercise of what we just read in 1 Thessalonians and other places, but in Thessalonians. In Thessalonians, it is to a new church, some new believers, and Paul talks about the will of God in its most experiential daily sense. Not the deep and eternal will of God, but the practical will of God. And the will of God to us is what? What is it? We just read. Always rejoice. Always rejoice. Number two, what? Unceasingly pray. Unceasingly pray. And number three, what? In everything, give thanks. Well, brothers and sisters, we need to just practice these things. Practice these things. To live the Christian life. To live the Christian life. We talk about calling on the Lord, yeah? In the Lord's recovery. Calling on the Lord. I'd like to say, brothers and sisters, the way to pray without ceasing, our brother tells us, is simply breathing, because breathing is something you do without ceasing. So, to pray without ceasing simply means to breathe all the time. To breathe all the time. And the best way to breathe is to call on the Lord. Am I right? Now, we all know about calling on the Lord. But I feel it's not that we don't know these things, or we don't do them a little bit, But my feeling is that we need what I call a rediscovery, a new experience, a stronger experience in these practices. So, brothers and sisters, call on the Lord.
Amen.
Call on the Lord deeply. Call on the Lord to draw from the wells of salvation. Call on the Lord in so many ways. In your daily life, I find myself that if I don't call, I cannot go on. I know a lot of Bible things. I give messages, all of that. But when it comes to my daily life, I'm reduced to calling. Calling on the Lord. Am I being too simple? And don't just call, but call until you're filled. Call, open your mouth wide, call to be filled in the Spirit. The Lord does not give us daily salvation by plucking us out of circumstances, or by changing our environment. The Lord grant us our daily salvation by filling us with Him. And so, the way is to call, to be filled in the Spirit. Well, I say again, we need a revival in all of these things. Oh Lord.
Amen.
It's not just, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus. It's that kind of a call. That kind of a deep calling unto to the deep.
Amen.
That kind of a, I don't know what to say, deep breathing. I have many experiences where I have no prayer. I couldn't even pray. But I call. I just call. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. I have no words to pray. I have nothing. I just call. I just call. And somehow, when I call, something happens. Something happens. My insides are being cleared out. There's some fresh air supply that comes in. And if I keep calling and calling and calling in a sincere way, I tell you, my spirit begins to be filled, to be filled up. I have, because many of you here, you already know quite a lot about the things of the church, about the truth, about this and that. I just have this burden that it's time for us to live those things out. So that there's not this distance or gap between the things we know and our daily life and the way we live. I think I mentioned to the brothers last weekend I went to San Jose, and on the plane, I was just an hour flight, and the thought just came to me, this word that Brother Lee used about that says, we have so much truth. We have so much truth in the recovery. But the shortage is in its application. The application of these wonderful truths. And that just caused me a lot of prayer and consideration. And so, just right on that airplane, I just jot down even just about 20 points about how to apply these truths. When truth or revelation of the truth is practiced or actualized, I think I said that in San Francisco, that is a definition of revival. Did you hear what I said? When a certain revelation or certain truth gets into our practice, becomes our experience, that is a revival. That is a revival. And we have so many of these things, so many truths. The need is to apply them so that it becomes our experience in our daily life. Well, I come back to the matter of the calling. Are you following me up to this point?
Amen.
I think you can tell I'm struggling here to say something. Unceasingly pray.
Amen.
Right? That is the exercise of our spirit. To touch the spirit. To receive the spirit. To appropriate the supply of the spirit. Experientially. Daily. Regularly. So, now, besides calling, I would say the next thing to apply to live our daily life in a normal way, in an overcoming way, I would say is prayer. Prayer. Which really is an extension of our calling. Prayer. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to pray more. And not in a perfunctory way. Not in a, that's what we do way. Not in a before the meeting we have to pray way. Not in a get it out of the way way. But really pray. Really pray. You know, Bradley talked about vital groups and all of this. The first thing is to pray. If I can stir you all up in your respective localities to come together to pray in groups, in twos or threes, here and there to pray. Brother Lee has a very good utterance. He said, actually, it's not just pray. It is what is an aspiration to pray. That means there is that desire, that need to pray. And when you have that aspiration, you will pray. And if you don't have that aspiration, I have to make you pray. And you have to watch the clock, you know? Because when do we stop, you know? But when you have the aspiration, you would pray often. And you pray, what? When you pray, you are filled in the Spirit. You're filled in the Spirit. Simple practices, the practices that we all know about. But let us go deeper. Let's renew them in our daily lives. Pray until you're filled in the Spirit, and even pray until you are baptized by the Spirit. The Spirit's infilling and the Spirit's outfilling is very needed among us today. The infilling and the outfilling of the Spirit is very much what we need today. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit.
Amen.
Nothing matters. We need the Spirit.
Amen.
Who is the Lord? Am I right?
Amen.
Who is the triune God? We all know this. But we need to experience this Spirit.
Amen.
Much, much more. Oh, pray, brothers. I don't know what to say. Sometimes we need to kneel down to pray. Pray for what? Pray for everything. Pray for so many things. Let our church life, let your Christian life not be a routine. And let the church life not be a routine anymore. Pray, What else? What else? I mentioned already to what? To pray, read. To pray, read. And that is actually to take in the Word, to be filled with the Word by strong prayer reading. Okay? And then, still something. I have still something more. And you may laugh at this, but I tell you, it is to sing. Amen. To sing.
Amen.
We need to sing a lot more. You know, Dick Taylor, right, is our pattern. You know Dick Taylor. Even in his messages, he have to keep singing. It is so. And I was thinking, just these days, remembering even Brother Howard. You know Howard Higashi? You all know Brother Howard. Many of you know him. And I tell you, one of the characteristics of this brother is singing. He studies the ministry. He reads the Bible. But I tell you, he sings. In his daily life, he sings. He writes songs. You know, we today, many of the songs we sing are written by him. How do you rejoice always? I will tell you the best way is to sing. You know, otherwise it says rejoice always. How do you do it? Just, you know, do this. How do you rejoice always? It is to sing. We need a recovery of a singing church life, a singing daily life. Not in a performing way. We're just singing people. And the singing, I will tell you, actually includes something. Also something that is a bit lost. And that is praising. Singing implies praising.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
With singing, with lots of singing. That's why I collected these hymns and do all these things to force the church to become a singing people without opening the hymnal. And I don't even stop there. I have another one, and that is what? Thanksgiving. Giving thanks, like here. Now, the two other places that talks about these things. One, Ephesians 5. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled in the Spirit, speaking one to another. Psalms and hymns and songs. The other one is what? Of course, Colossians chapter 3. What does it say? Let the word of Christ inhabit you richly, right? Admonishing and teaching one another. Am I right? With songs, singing and making a melody in your heart. Brothers and sisters, this is the Christian life. This is your life. How do I survive as a working saint? how do I face those environments every day? There's no way but by the Spirit and by the Word, with the operating cross. But the key is to what? Is to exercise our spirit in the actual practical doing of the will of God in all these things. Now, tonight, I already took such a long time because I spoke so slowly. But I will tell you that if you would get something of this and begin to practice together, I tell you that will be better than 1,000 messages. Amen. I can be here giving you a good message and you get inspired, and that's it. But I have a deeper burden than that, and that is your living, your life. A stronger, more robust, more prevailing daily life, which will affect the church life. All your, because you are living in this way, I tell you, the power of the Spirit will be with you. The ability to overcome so many things will be with you. The supply through the day will be with you. And not only just for you to barely survive, keep your head above the water, but you will have excess energy that you can share with others in the meetings, in the church life, in your service. And even in what? In the gospel. In the preaching of the gospel. In the shepherding of the saints. So many things that you are now called upon to do, to bear the burden in the church life. To take the lead, brothers, requires this kind of daily life. To be a sister effectively in the church life, making a difference, you have to be this kind of a person. So, let me stop here. Let me just stop here. And see, 9:30, well, 8:30, you say something about this whole day, the morning, this afternoon, or now. Why don't you share something? Okay? Do it. It's your turn. Is actually speaking. Amen. Speaking one to another, and even speaking to those without in the way of the gospel, in the way of the truth, right? The speaking. So all these things. Go ahead.
Test. Okay. With Mary, it was about timeliness for her. Because she didn't want to lose the opportunity, and she loved the Lord so dearly that at that moment she knew that she had the opportunity to pour out everything, and she seized that opportunity and poured it out. And I'm just really touched that really is, and actually the Lord said that this is a memorial for her, and it and you can see there's some other portions in the word, like in Hebrews with, I think, Cornelius, that talks about it's a memorial for these different things. So it's kind of it's a big deal. And obviously the Lord said, you know, this needs to be shared with the gospel because it indicates the love that she had for the Lord. And that's a critical part, just the gospel and then how the Lord loves, you know, everyone, and then how we should love the Lord back. But anyway, the timeliness was really touching to me because we all have so many things going on with work and with family and, you know, our lives. And it's always, you know, maybe early 40s, you know, that'll be the best time to probably buckle down and really kind of just dive in, you know. But it's just not about that. It's about timeliness. And if we increase our love for the Lord, which is by, you know, giving everything to Him, asking for forgiveness, being forgiven of much, our love will increase, and then we will really want this timeliness. And one quick thing was also enjoyed with exercising these things that we learned is the our focus. You know, really when we're reading the Word or pray reading or doing whatever, you know, we can all multitask, but what I've learned from that is that the difference is shallow processing versus deep processing. It's like our attention is like a beam of light. It shines on one thing at a time, and there's maybe some peripheral light, but really in order to learn and go to deeper aspects of touching the Lord and in His Word, you really have to focus directly on the Word and shut out all these other things that come in and distract us. And we all know that that's what the enemy uses. You know, he takes our focus and he takes our attention away when we're at these, we're trying to really get into the Word and so forth. So anyway, I really enjoyed that. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want to lose the opportunity to touch the Lord. Amen. I want to waste myself upon Him. Amen. I was so touched about praying to the Lord, defeat me, capture me, ruin me, possess me, vanquish me in a total, complete way. Oh, Lord, I was just, this whole weekend was great, and I feel like I'm just so happy that I'm in this one giant family, and we have the Lord to touch us. Amen.
Amen. I just enjoyed our brother's word this evening on how to live the daily life. Anyways, I appreciate hearing this again and again, because I know many of us have heard time and time again that, you know, even I grew up in a church life, so I grew up calling on the name of the Lord, right? But it seems as I go on, the more I go on, it seems like sometimes I just take it for granted and I forget how refreshing it can be, right? Even our brother shared, we should learn to call on the Lord until we're filled in spirit. So I even think the Lord has been touching me more and more lately. You know, just as I'm passing through the day, maybe at my job, I can't, you know, necessarily, I can't get into a life study on my job where I work. I can't read. I can't pull out my Bible and read necessarily. But when I have a little minute aside to myself, I can call on the Lord, or I can just pray, read a verse. So I appreciate this point. Anyways, all these points he brought up, the matter of calling on the Lord, right? Of praying. We need to take the opportunity to pray. Pray reading. Even singing, it's wonderful to sing. It fills us with joy.
Hi. I just want to talk about a point in the second message today, or the one in the afternoon, no, late morning, the late morning message. I wouldn't say I was really touched by it, but it was more like a rude awakening, or like a brutal realization of what was going on and why. For as long as I can remember, I've been praying, Lord, gain me. Lord, help me put you as my priority, as my number one. But it never really worked out. And I was like, what's going on? I think I've been praying, you know, very genuinely, and I would do it out loud even though I was by myself. So I thought it was real. But never really understood why. And it became really clear to me today that it was because I still had one foot in the world, and I was trying to keep it there. I still had a love for the world and ambition and success. And what I was really praying, like, without saying it, was, you know, Lord, help me gain you in addition to me having success, without really saying it. And, you know, I think the Lord knew that. Or, Lord, I want you to be my number one, but only slightly more important than success, right? And, you know, I came to this realization when Brother Menor said that it's friendship with the world is enmity with God. I was like, whoa, what? Enmity? That's, oh, man. It's like mutually exclusive, which hurts me a lot. It hurts me a lot because I've been very ambitious my entire life. I still think I am. But, after the message, I kind of sat there, made a small little prayer, like, cautiously, because I'm still scared. I said, Lord, you know, defeat me, you know, capture me, vanquish me, possess me. But I still don't know how true that is in my heart of hearts, because it sounds really scary. But I don't know. That point was poignant for me.
I serve the young people, and every time we have like a conference or a blending meeting, we always encourage the young people to stand up and say something, and here I am sitting down at our own conference. So, but yeah, I serve the young people because I truly believe that the young people is our future. The young people is the future of the church life. But without even realizing it, I myself have entered into the present of the church life. So, you know, we are it, right? We are the within the age group. We are the fighting ones. So we should be the ones to take the lead, you know, to stand up, to fight. We're the fighting ground, right? The battle, the spiritual warfare is fighting within us. In each of us, we need to be strong and just stand up and fight. We can't, you know, each day, you know, we're living in our work, you know, especially, you know, when the area that we're living in, it's very competitive, right? In our work environment, you know, we have to stay ahead. But sometimes when we stay ahead in those ways, we lose track of our goal, what we're trying to do, you know, who we are and where we stand with the Lord. A lot of times we lose focus of that. And that, you know, is where we are fighting, right? That is, you know, here and now we need to take a stand, right? Not just, you know, oh, when I'm older, oh, when I'm more stable, oh, when I have more time to do what I want to do, but now, right? And, I went to Davis, and Davis is kind of, you know, Aggies, you know, agriculturals, you know, I have a friend who's really big on planting trees and, you know, raising, you know, the earth to be better for the future. And he's always told me, you know, Kevin, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. And that's for the future. So what are we doing for the church, for the growth of the church? You know, did we do anything 20 years ago? No, we're pretty young back then. But the next best time is now. Amen. Right now. Amen. Amen.
Right now. Saints, I appreciated this morning that outside of the requirements, outside of any rule or regulation, there is an opportunity. Saints, we have an opportunity. But this opportunity is not without a price. And this opportunity is not without a cost. But why we take the opportunity is the reason we take an opportunity is because we see some value. There has to be the proper valuation. But this valuation is not up to us. Christ is the most attractive one in the universe. He is the immense magnet. It doesn't take some wise person to value Christ. Actually, Christ is the most valuable. But it takes his mercy for us to see this valuation. But what's up to us is to take the opportunity. And I appreciated the taking of this opportunity. Every opportunity that we take in the church life is a new stage. It's a new stage in our church life, in our Christian life. But what does this require? It requires the building of an altar. You may not know what you're giving up. You may not know what you're consecrating. But to consecrate is what the Lord values. It's actually, we don't consecrate anything of ourselves. The real offering is Christ himself. But there's a dividend paid out to those who pay this price, who invest in their birthright, in the gaining of Christ. And the dividend is seen in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-24. The dividend is one who rejoices always. The dividend is one who prays unceasingly. And the dividend is one who gives thanks in everything. We don't need to look at anybody else in the world. Our model is our forerunner, the Lord Jesus Christ. What better reward? What better dividend? But then we get rewarded in the coming kingdom. Hallelujah, saints. Let's take the opportunity. Let's not look at what's behind us. Let's press on. Pursue to what is before us.
And an hour is coming, and it is now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truthfulness. For the Father also seeks such to worship him. I was refreshed in the recent college conference that to worship in Greek means to come forward to kiss. And we heard this morning that in this gospel, it's a gospel of love. It's the love, the Lord's love for us, and it's our response is our love for him. And so to every follower and lover of the Lord throughout all the ages, and we're included in this, we don't only believe this gospel, but we fall in love with this gospel himself. And then out of our love for him, then is our willingness to pour out our all on him. And it's not just a matter of the value of the ointment that we have, but it's the timeliness of our act. Are we taking the opportunity when we're with him, when we're in his presence right now, to pour out our all on him? Or are we waiting to do it at a later time when we think it might be better? But right now we have the ointment and we have the Lord, so we should take the opportunity to pour out everything on him.
This being my first Working Saints Conference, I wasn't really sure what to expect, but I actually enjoyed that we're actually just going back to the basics, you know. As evidenced earlier tonight, sometimes it's very easy for us to fall back into our habits, you know, with prayer reading, singing, calling. Sometimes it's just so easy for us to do this in a religious way. But I just really enjoy that we really need to see the point of all our practices to touch the Lord in our spirit. And sometimes with the message earlier this morning, it's easy for us to look at ourselves, like, Lord, I'm not that absolute. I can't pour out everything to you. But actually, every day is full of opportunities for us to touch the Lord, right? It starts with the mornings, and throughout the day, we have so many opportunities for us to touch the Lord, to pray, read, to sing. And so, you know, I really was encouraged that we need to go back to the basics, you know. Don't focus on the big things, just focus on the small things. Call on the Lord, pray, read, sing, thanksgivings, all these things we can do in our day-to-day living. So praise the Lord for all these life practices.
Something that our brother spoke tonight, that we need a revolution in pray reading. Amen. We need to become addicted to pray reading. Amen. I almost feel like our brother was diagnosing us, right? We need to pour out on the Lord. We need to have the power to give up the world. But yet, without the power, the living and abiding word, we have no strength. It is the word living in us, empowering us, that does all these things in us and through us, in our cooperation. So I almost have a wish. I wish a year from now, if our brother returns and feel that we have this again, I wish that one meeting, it would be just as what he said. We'd take 2 hours just to pray, read the word. We'd pray, read the word in the way that because this year and next year we would have been practicing. We would have been practicing to unlearn some poor habits that we've learned and we would relearn how to practice in a way that we can score together as a team. And in so doing, I really believe that this kind of prayer reading, if we have this together, it will change our church life. It will change our living. When we get together in this kind of way, I feel that when we really break through, each one will be supplied, each one will be powered, each one will have the way to go on. So anyways, I just want to confirm that. And so all of us, we would practice together. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I was really encouraged with this just consideration in Matthew 26 and 1 John also. I didn't grow up in the church life, but I've been a Christian since 1981. And I came into the church life 4 years ago, and nobody invited me into the church life. I looked it up on the internet, and I just visited the church in Sacramento. But in anyways, the key, I think, what I've learned is what's really practical is we don't really have to complicate all of this, but to simply abide in the Word, to really learn to chew on the Word, to just spend time alone with the Lord. Our daily living will really be an extension of a little bigger meeting that will grow into a home meeting and even on Lord's table. But it really comes down to our time alone with the Lord. And for an example, a brother came to me and had a real burden to pray for a home meeting because we have over 30 brand new ones this year in our home meeting. And we started praying at our home on a weekly basis, just a couple of us, and just a few of us. And as we prayed and we would pray read, things started happening very, very quickly. For example, we have a little Bible study at my workplace, right by my workplace. This year started with about seven of us, and we started, and our meetings is just simply, we just pray read. And we have these new ones that are pray reading with us. In fact, we have a couple here that's in the Bible study that we have on a weekly basis that's never been to the Lord's table, never been to any of our meetings, only our home meetings. And I invited them over, and they're here with his wife, these two, and it's really precious because they know how to pray read. I mean, and we would share this with our people at some of the home meetings, but they've never met these guys. And when they started coming, they would just simply pray read. It was just spontaneous. And I'm saying that because it's not just within ourselves. We need to be the ones practicing it first and let it overflow to the new ones. And just it becomes a practice. And what's so precious about it is because as it grows in us, this is the time. This is the time right now. This is what a privilege. What we know is we have a privilege. And it is the time to buy the oil and to hasten the day. The Lord needs us to hasten the day if we allow him to just make more room in our heart so that he can have his kingdom.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just feel like so much burdens I cannot stand. So I really touched this meeting that the touch part is actually Lord's love. I know it sounds a little strange, but I feel like really that bring me back to the Lord. Lord really love us. And he really even burdened Brother Minoru and cannot just stay back and even come to here and even train us. And all this matter is actually touching the person. I don't know, we all may talk about this matter a lot. We call on the name, get the person of that name. And all these things, you know, that Brother Minoru shared yesterday and today is a very practical matter. And all this, the way is actually bring us back to the Lord. And how can Mary pour those precious things, you know, pour into his head? Because I believe she sends his love. And that love basically constrains us. That love makes us give up everything else. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Amen.